Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Good night. Cost me everything, I'll give you that and more. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, if you turn there in your Bibles. I don't know if you follow the news or ever looked. I kind of got a fascination with selfies. And I just saw not too long ago that a person was at Mount Vesuvius in Italy. It's an active volcano, and they actually fell in it because they're taking a selfie, right? That person ended up living, and they got him out, that guy out, and everything like that. But there's a lot of people who don't end up making it. I remember there was a woman who jumped into a jaguar cage at a zoo to get a selfie and was killed. I remember a man standing up on a train while it's moving and touched something electrical and ended up bursting into flames and ended up dying, right? And this seems to be happening more and more. I'm sure you've seen all the YouTube channels where people are doing crazy stunts and whatnot, and sometimes they just don't turn out. It used to be more a guy thing, and actually now it's turning into more of a woman thing, where women are drowning and they're taking selfies and water situations and getting in trouble and whatnot. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is a progression when it comes to this. I brought in a picture from my office of the greatest basketball player ever to live, named Michael Jordan. But I don't know if you can see this, but this is 1998, and if you notice, right, everybody in the crowd, not one person is taking a picture. There's some photographers on the bottom taking pictures, but not one person in the crowd. This is game 6 of the NBA Finals, right? The second three-peat, and this is the game-winning shot, and not one person is doing that. You go to a sporting event today, and like when LeBron hit 40,000 points or something like that, everybody had their phone out, right? And that was the progression. You know, as soon as cell phones came out, everybody started taking pictures. And then nowadays, it's not even just pictures, right? It's, I got to get myself with that as the background to show everybody that I was here and I got to witness that, right? We weren't taking pictures. Then we were focused in on other people with amazing things, right? And now today, it's turned into we got to get ourselves and make ourselves actually the focus of it. That's the progression that we're in. And there's a progression that Paul warns Timothy about in this passage. And I just want us to read it today. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1. Would you stand in honor of God's word? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, teens, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Father, we pray that you'd speak through your word to us, soften our hearts, open our eyes and ears, Lord. Father, I pray that today would be a day that we would die to ourselves, Lord, and live fully for you. Lord, don't let anything get in the way of that. Remove it, Lord. Do whatever it takes to change our past, Lord. We love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is Paul's warning to Timothy, his son in the faith, about the last days, right? And it was going on then. And when I read this, I thought, yeah, this world is getting more like this, right? Is that what you thought when we were reading this? We are getting more selfish. We are becoming lovers of ourselves, right? Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to our parents, ungrateful, unholy, etc. Here's the thing, though. In this passage, right, Paul isn't talking necessarily about the world. He's talking about the church, right? We know that because of the ending. In the last days, Timothy, This will make its way into the church. People in the church can become lovers of themselves, right? Proud, unholy, unloving, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. When I was a kid, we had this word called narcissism. You don't hear that word today. It used to be, if you took a lot of pictures of yourself, we would call that you're being narcissistic, right? Today we call it Facebook. Today it's normal to set up a page devoted to yourself. Today I've seen pages on Instagram set up to people's animals, right? People have pages dedicated to their dogs, and we don't think anything about it. I saw a raccoon on a leash with a unicorn hat. That's what I saw when I was preparing for this sermon. Paul tells Timothy, in the last days, the church is going to be full of people that think of themselves. When a person is selfish, they try to fill themselves at the expense of others, right? When that person is in the church, it becomes all about, what can this church give me? What can this church do for me? What's available for me at this church? And as a result, churches fall into the trap of trying to provide things to attract people, right? How can we set ourselves up against these other churches? How can we stand out? What can we offer people to attract them to our church instead of that church? Or what can we do to draw people from those churches even to our church? We don't want to steal people, right? That's why we continually pray for other churches. We don't want to invite people from other churches to come to ours. We want them to be a part of their churches, right? When a church gets into this place, this is when it begins to die. This is what strips a church of its power when that becomes the focus. And today, I don't want to beat us up, right? But I want us to change the mode from selfie mode, you know, not even to really focus then on other people, because that's good. But I really just want us to get the cross as the main point of what we're looking at, what we're focusing in on, Jesus Christ, right? I want him to be the focus of our life and what we're doing. Worship is all about that, right? Worship is all about, no, that's the wrong focus. No, that's the wrong focus, right? Let's get the right focus. Let's get it pointed where things need to be. Our human nature points the camera at ourselves. But we've got to get away from that. We've got to die to that and change that focus. You know, where's your camera focus today? What's the focus of everything in your life? What's it pointed to? I just want us to think about that. Like I said, I'm not trying to beat anybody up today, but it's going to be one of those types of sermons, all right? Let's just examine ourselves with the Word of God and see where we're lacking. Some of us are doing good things and helping people and making the focus not ourselves, right? But, man, I found myself convicted of this sermon. So let's just let God speak to us and whatnot. I know some of you have been sucker punched by life, right? You're in that season today, betrayed or wounded. And when that happens, sometimes we retreat from life, and sometimes the focus of the camera is not on ourselves, right? It's to a place, though, where it is kind of focused in on us. We want people to feel sorry for us and bad for us, right? Sometimes we want to focus the camera, too, on that person that hurt us. And we can become obsessed with that person and following them and watching them. And if looks like life is treating them well, right, it just makes us miserable. But that's our focus, just looking at that other person. Or our focus is poor me. And like I said, I'm not trying to be
too hard there, because sometimes we just need to grieve, and sometimes that's okay, right? But sometimes we get stuck with that lens in that direction, and we need to turn it towards Christ, right? And change that focus. Like I said, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I know, I've just seen people get stuck in a hatred for other people when that person's hurt them. And we just need to be really careful about that, because you're never going to be happy and if that's your camera lens focus. Never be, right? It will drag you to hell. So be careful with that. Not too long ago, we did that sermon series on David, right? King David dealt with a son that betrayed him, took the kingdom from him. King David dealt with another king that he was faithful to and helped this king all the time, and yet this king wanted to kill him. David was far from perfect, but his focus was never in on those people. He never made those people the focus. It was always God that it was his focus. Psalm 27 said, and you, God, are my shepherd. You are everything that I need. I just want to dwell in your house. It's the one thing that he desired the most. That's what he says, right? To live there and to trust in him. Some of you have been emptied by life and by things that have gone on, and I hope you can find a way to get into his presence and let him fill you. Let him restore you, right? Let him give you that peace that you are so desperate for. Lord, you know, I'm praying today, Lord, take the focus off of us. Take the focus off of other people and let us put it on you, Lord, right? We've got to make that change. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, being selfish, having the wrong focus strips the power from the church. That's what it does, right? How? Every believer has been given, according to 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? There's a way that God has gifted you, supernaturally gifted you in a way that the Holy Spirit will work through you, right, to help other people, for the common good, for other people. I believe that God has given me a gift of teaching and preaching. I believe that God will calm my fears of public speaking, right? I believe that he will supernaturally give me important things to pass on to you, things that he wants passed on. Why? To build the church, to speak to you, to speak to me more times. Half time, I think I'm just preaching to myself with these things. The Bible says that now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Have you ever noticed that some people are just wise? They have really good wisdom. Those are the people that you go to for advice, right? That is a supernatural spiritual gift. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Do you know the people who just, no matter what life is throwing at them, they just keep on moving in faith, trusting God, right? To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And you can keep on reading the rest of that, right? According to the Bible, though, every believer is given a gift. Why? So we can help each other. For the common good, right? The problem is that a lot of people in the church have no idea what their spiritual gift is. We were talking about that in Sunday school. We were talking about a lot of this stuff in Sunday school. You missed it if you didn't come. But we were talking about, you know, how do you find out your spiritual gift? You jump in. You jump in the pool and you find it. You try things out. You see where God's doing it. You see where God's giving you passions for things, right? If you have a spiritual gift, a lot of times other people can tell you what that is. They'll see it in you. They'll know you have a gift for wisdom. They'll see a gift of healing, right? And they'll tell you about that. Why don't people figure out what their spiritual gifts are, though? A lot of times because they're not focused in on helping other people. They're just got the camera in the wrong direction. focused in too much on themselves. They may want the gift of healing, right, so that they can be, people will say, look at them, they've got the gift of healing, right? That's the wrong focus. We want to help people out. Sometimes we want the leadership position so people will look at us and say, look how great that person is, right? That does not work. Those gifts will never manifest if our focus is on ourselves. We want to come to church or we want to go into this world and just be like, God, I'm concerned for these people around us. I just see where they're at. I just see how they're grieving. I just see what they're dealing with. And Lord, I just want to help them. I want to see them made whole, right? And when we have that kind of attitude, that's when the spiritual gifts really start coming out. Lord, use us. Lord, spend me. Lord, work through me, right? Let me join you in what you're doing. Or are we just stuck in selfie mode? And it's all about our comfort and what we want and praise me and look how great I am, right? Selfishness is the very thing that's destroying people in their walk with God. We know that it kills marriages, right? Selfishness. My needs are not getting met by my spouse, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to go find somebody where my needs will be met, right? That's selfishness. That just leads in pain and heartbreak. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, is there anything amazing from being united with Christ, right? If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing, right? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. How are you doing with that? Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Wow. Right? How are you doing with that? Because when I read that, I'm not doing too good with that. How are you doing with it? If you're getting anything from Christ, right? If he's done anything in your life, if he's flipped it up, if he's given you any peace, right? Anything from the Holy Spirit, then do this. Make my joy complete by not doing anything out of selfishness. But value other people more than yourselves. Everything in society says, look at you. Look inward. You deserve to be happy. You deserve a break today, right? You need to focus on you. You need to learn how to love yourself so that you can love other people. The kingdom of God, though, is the exact opposite, right? Jesus did not come to be served. Too many of us in the church come to be served. What is this church going to do for me? Too many come to be blessed. Too many come to be just fed, right? It's not a horrible thing, but that's the expectation. Jesus came to die, though, to give his life as a ransom. Jesus came to rescue me. What did he come to rescue me from? Me, right? Ourselves. James is always leading me to focus on me first. James lies and tells me that life is all about being comfortable or having this thing or that thing, and he always wants me to get focusing on me, and if I do that, that's when I'll be happy. That's what James says. But God came to me with a crazy suggestion, right? James got to go. James got to die. Insert your name there. Some of you might not realize this, but becoming a follower of Christ, you know, when you get baptized, you see this picture, right? When you go under that water, you're identifying Christ in death. You're dying to yourself. And when you come up out of that water, you're a new creation. You got a new focus. You got a new bent in your life, and that is to live for the King, to live for him. Baptism is a beautiful reminder of that, right? James was leading me towards places I did not want to go. I kept listening to him and doing things I did not want to do, right? James told me money and things would make me happy. And time again, they didn't, right? James was selfish. He hurt people. Cared more about himself than others. James needed to go, right? Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, right? But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, right? My friends, you need to die. We need to die. Some of you are desperately trying to hold on to this life, desperately trying to hold on to things, right, and make it everything that you can make it. But you'll never find a full life if that's your focus. That house renovation won't make you happy for long. It'll be great for a season, right? That full bank account won't give you lasting peace. It just won't, right? You're leading yourself towards destruction. Does anything satisfy you for very long? Do you keep doing things that you don't want to do? You need to be saved from you, and that will only happen if you die, if you pick up your cross and follow him, right? You'll never be full of joy. You'll never have the life that you crave, that full life, until you die. I can't kill you and not get arrested, right? You got to die. You got to do it. You got to switch from selfie mode. That's what it means. Switch from selfie mode. Some of you are like me and you died, but you forgot that you have to stay dead. You forgot that it's a daily thing to pick up your cross, right? Today can be an amazing reminder to do just that, to pick your cross back up and follow him in whatever way that means. Today can be a great reminder to just change the focus in on your camera. Quit looking at that thing out there and thinking it's going to make you happy, right? Focus in on the cross. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Turn from your selfish ways daily and follow me. Lord, forgive me, right? Can you imagine if we truly all were living this out on a daily basis? We all have our moments, I'm sure, right? Some of you guys are doing a great job. But could you imagine if we just had this mindset, though, that we did nothing out of selfish ambition? Could you imagine if we were worried about others? Truly, others more than ourselves, right? We have great glimpses of that. I know we do things to help people. You guys are a generous crew, right? I'm not knocking us. But I'm just thinking, and I know myself, that a lot of times I'm thinking of me. And I don't want to do that because it's uncomfortable. I don't want to do that because I'm scared. I don't want to do that because I want to do this instead, right? And I'll do it if it fits in my schedule, but I'm not going to rearrange my schedule. I don't want to rearrange that. We got an opportunity, April 20th, right? Big serve. We've got an opportunity to serve widows and other people in the church. Will we do that, right? Will we? An opportunity maybe to change something in our schedule to make room for that. It's an opportunity not to look at our own interests, but each of us to the interests of others, as the word says. How burdened are we for the people that are around us? Am I truly burdened for people? When's the last time that you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time that you wanted to witness to somebody? When's the last time that you prayed for an opportunity to witness to somebody? Are we burdened for people? Do we really care if they're on their way to hell? Do we? Some people we just don't like, right? man, Christ was burdened for people. Burdened. Burdened. Lord, give us a glimpse of hell. Lord, give us a glimpse of hell. Right? So we see what's really at stake here. We've got the good news. Christ has flipped our lives upside down. Lord, give us an opportunity to share that with one person. Right? Is that our prayer? Do we even really care about that? I believe that if that is truly our focus, right, God will give us people as well. We can make this focus, making this place look nice and doing a good job with that. We can pray for God to bring people here, right? But if we're truly not going to care for other people, not to be burdened for other people, why would God do that, right? We want revival. We say we want revival, but we'll take revival that where we don't have to do anything and we can just remain selfish and focused in on ourselves, right? God's not going to bring anybody here if that's our focus. How else does selfishness rob the church? Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody else to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, we become okay with letting the church have somebody to teach us, right? We become okay with that. I used to complain about pastors. Man, I used to complain about different pastors that we've had over the years saying, man, I'm just not getting fed from them. And I didn't realize it was on me to feed myself. That's what I was called to do. Yeah, there's a time when you're first starting out, you need to be fed, but we need to feed ourselves the elementary truths of God's word. Paul says we should be teaching it by now. If you've been in the church more than a few years, you should be teaching it right to other people, not having to rely on somebody in some position to do it for you. That's why we challenge you to read the Bible this year, right? Get in God's word. Eat for yourself. It's not easy to read the Bible all the time, but we have amazing translations today that make it pretty clear. We've got study Bibles that have explanations of what we're reading down below. We have things that will read us the Bible, even if we're not good readers. There is no excuse. We should all be in God's word, right? Selfishness is what will be what gets in the way of that. Right? We want something else more than we want it. What is getting in the way of your quiet time? Right? What are you focusing in on that's more important than time with Christ? Get rid of it. You got to die. I got to die. Right? I'm busy. I don't have time. Baloney. Say the truth. I don't want it. Right? That's the truth. I don't want it. Because I'd rather do this other thing, whatever it is. What's the Holy Spirit convicting you of? I don't know what the Holy Spirit's convicting me of. Right? I shouldn't be laughing about that. Reminds me of this time in this crazy scene when Moses went up on the mountain in Exodus 19:9. Right? The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned and shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and washed their clothes. He said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountains and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. and they stood at the foot of the mountain. They couldn't go up. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like a smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. At the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain, so Moses went up. Could you imagine this scene? Could you imagine experiencing this, right? Prepare yourself. Get ready. Consecrate yourself. Moses shows up, right? God's going to come down and meet with us. There's thunder. There's lightning. We hear this loud trumpet blast, right? People are scared. We're all trembling, right? Moses leads us out towards the base of the mountain. The Lord descends on it with fire. Could you imagine fire coming down on a mountain and it just billowing like a furnace out of there, the smoke going up, right? Could you imagine when the mountain starts to violently shake? The sound of the trumpet gets louder and louder. And could you imagine hearing Moses talking to God? Could you imagine that? We don't have to imagine that. We can experience that today, right? I don't know about you, but I'd be scared. I'd be in awe of this going on, right? I'd be wondering what's going on. And I couldn't wait for God to come down and or Moses to come down and tell us what God was saying, right? We're stuck here. This is where we're stuck today. We're stuck with wanting somebody else to have that amazing experience with God while we watch from afar, and then they chew it up and they give it to us instead of experiencing it for ourselves. Right? That's what we talked about last week, isn't it? You couldn't go up the mountain back then. You couldn't go into the Holy of Holies back then. Only a high priest, only Moses could do that. Only once a year could that be done. But then the Word came down. The Word dwelt among us, right? The Word was crucified. And that temple veil was torn in two. That place that we could not go to, otherwise we would die, right? We now have access to. And I told you last week, I can't imagine the guy or the person who sewed up that veil and went on to worshiping in that way for 40 years when they had that available to him, that where they could have gone into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That's us today. Because we have access to the Holy of Holies, but we're satisfied with some preacher or some teacher going in and talking to God and bringing that message to us instead of us doing it ourselves. Can I remind you of that? You have the ability to approach the throne of God if you're not too busy, right? What should get in the way of that in our lives? What's more important than that? Right? Why am I stupid and let things get in the way of that myself? Right? The veil's gone, right? The pastor can't be Moses for you. Instead, we need to enter into his presence. And until you start entering his presence, you will not be filled. Right? Until you get into the throne room. Until I'm willing to empty my life and die, that's when I'll be filled. That's when you'll be filled. That's when you'll know what life is truly about. Till you get there, you'll never be satisfied. You're always going to be chasing after something that when you catch it, it will never satisfy you, and you'll have to chase after something else again. When all we have to do is kneel down and put out our cup, right? And let him fill it overflowing. Don't let anything get in the way of that. Can we just be reminded of that? There's something, if it's in the way, lay it down Die to it. Get it out of there. One of the last things Jesus said before he was crucified was in John 13:34. He says this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Not too long ago, it hit me something about this command, and I just want you to imagine yourself, right, if you're a father, and you know that one day you're not going to be around for your kids, right? If I'm here, I know I can be there for my kids, but one day I will not be, right? What would you want for them? I would want my kids to look out for each other. I would want them to love each other, right? I would hope that they'd be willing to sacrifice for each other when they needed it. I hope that they'd be willing to look after others, their other siblings' interests, right? None of us, when we're gone, would want the people left to just look after themselves, right? And just focus in on themselves. Jesus wanted his followers, Jesus wanted his family, right, to look out for each other. Our Heavenly Father wants that for the church, for his sons and daughters. Not only does he want us to do that for our current family members that are in here, he wants us to bring other people into the family so that we can look after them as well, right? What an amazing, amazing call that's on our life as the church. That's our call, right? To equip, to help, to look after, to be there when people are grieving, to serve, right, and to invite people into this family. Do we even care? Do we even care to invite somebody into that? Do we get it? Are we experiencing it, right? Who can you invite into the family of God? Who can you serve? Who can you love? Who can you be there for? Who are you called to? He wants us to be there for him. How awesome of a privilege is that? Amen? I know we do things. I just think sometimes we do things when it's convenient. Sometimes we do things when it fits, right? I know we could be praying a lot more. I know a lot more of us could be on a Sunday night coming out for prayer. I know a lot more of us could be coming and taking that sheet of the prayer requests and be lifting our friends and family members up with it. I know a lot more of us could be contacting people, serving people, right? What's your spiritual gift? Are you using it? Do you know it? If you don't, jump in the pool, right? Swim around. If that place isn't warm, doesn't feel right, swim to another place and try something else out. What is God calling you? How has he equipped you, right? I don't know where you're at today, but I know you need to die if you're not dead. Would you stand with me? Out of you, would you come? Some of you today may need to die for the first time. Maybe you've never heard the message of sanctification. Maybe you've just been living for yourself. Maybe you don't know about that. But maybe God is calling you to die to something that's in your life that's robbing you of your time alone with God or getting in the way of that. Maybe you just need to lay something down. Where do things die? They die at the altar, right? I want to invite you today to come and lay whatever it is that's getting in the way. I want to speak to the people that I know are a lot of people in here. You died at one moment, but you've picked stuff back up. And you need to lay those things down again, right? Whatever that is. What do you need to let go of? What is the Holy Spirit convicting you of? What's getting in the way? Will you think about that, right? Some of you may have your frame stuck on somebody that's hurt you, right? And you hate that person. and you hate that that person is doing well. And you need to die to that. You need to take the focus off of that person and put it on Christ. Some of you have a picture maybe that's on a car or a house or a bank account or the lottery tickets. Is it still $1.3 billion or whatever it is? I don't know. But some of you need to switch that. Take it off of that and put it on the cross. Amen. I'm one of those people that needs to die. I'm one of those people that got caught up in a little bit too much of myself, letting things get in the way. And I know God's speaking to me with that. If that's you, would you come now and just join me in this time of prayer? I'll give you a minute, all right? If you need to die to something, if you need to die something that you're hanging on to, if you've got the camera lens focused in on the wrong place, right, will you let it go? Would you allow God to refocus you? Don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity. I don't know where you're at, but there's no better place to be than the altar. Pick up your cross, right? Let's be a church that truly focuses in on other people. Let's let nothing get in the way of that. Let us not be a people that depends on other people to feed us. Let us be a people that approaches the King of Kings ourselves, the Holy of Holies, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself and these other ones that have come. Lord, Father, if it's a person that we can't seem to let go of, Lord, would you give us freedom from that? Would you help us to lay that down? Father, if it's a thing that we just can't seem to let go of, a thing that we think will bring us happiness, Lord, would you let us die to that thing that's getting in the way? That thing that we're looking to bring us peace and happiness, that thing that can never be you, Lord, would you help us to lay that down? Father, we've got too many cameras that are in selfie mode, Lord, and we need to turn them to focus in on you, Lord. Father, would you sanctify us? Would you set us apart? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord? Father, I know some of us want revival, but we're not willing to die to everything. We're not willing to be there, to be workers, Lord. Father, would you start by changing us? Would you start by changing our heart? Would you start by giving us that worker mentality? Father, would you put somebody in our path to share the good news with? Would you give us a burden for people, a real burden for people, Lord? Would you help us to see people differently, not as we once saw them? Would you help us to see them as you see them? Would you help us to see what could be, Lord? Father, we don't want to enable, but we want to be a part of what you're doing. Give us an opportunity to do that, Lord. Lord, sanctify the ones that have come. Fill them with your Spirit. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.